Okay, we got to normocytic normochromic anemias. And everything on this whole week is going to be on the exam because we start something different next week. But first of all, I'm supposed to tell you that tomorrow from 4 to 6 in 3324 of the Wilk, there is a career symposium. So if you want to go over and look at some of the jobs that are available, people that are looking for you already, you can do that. So tomorrow. Okay, we're going to talk about the normocytic normochromic anemias. And you have to realize that any of these anemias can be anything they want, but there are certain ones that we sort of classify as classes. But the normocytic normochromic, there's really not much to say. If you have kidney disorders, and that's what chronic renal insufficiency means, if you have kidney disorders, it could be that you could have anemia of chronic disease if those kidneys are inflamed or infected. It could be that you could have iron deficiency anemia if you're constantly losing blood through the GU tract. So it could be that. You could have folic acid deficiency if you're on dialysis. So those are all possibilities, but if you just have uremia, which means an increase in waste products circulating in your blood, we usually put it in the normocytic normochromic category. And the reason you have anemia with this is that if you remember where erythropoietin comes from, if you have kidney disease, you don't have enough erythropoietin. So you have a decreased production of cells. So it would come under, if we were to classify it, hypoproliferation. You don't make enough red cells. Okay, in addition to that, these red cells and platelets and everything get coated with the waste products that your kidney can't excrete. So some of the symptoms that you see in these patients are they have pallor because they're anemic. They have exertional dyspnea because they don't have enough oxygen coming through. And what they found is that their anemia, their degree of anemia, corresponds to their BUN level. So a BUN level is blood, urea, and nitrogen, which is a waste product. And so if you have a BUN level that's greater than 20, then you have an increase in waste products in the blood. So what we're looking at then is if they're anemic, it's usually normocytic normochromic. So if we were to give you a case study, tell you the BUN level, if it's above 20, it's abnormal, then what you put is chronic renal insufficiency. Okay? Otherwise, it might be classified in some other group. But if it's normocytic normochromic, then either renal disease or chronic renal insufficiency. Now, the cells don't like where they are because they have all this waste product they're floating in. Remember I told you if cells don't like where they are, they kind of crenate. And so these are what we call Burr cells. They're a little more than crenated, but they're not acanthocytes. So they get these little spikes on them. The retics depends. If the bone marrow can push out more blood, then it becomes a little bit elevated, but usually it's normal. They may have a neutrophilia. Their platelets are normal in number, but since they're coated with that waste product, sometimes they don't work too well. So they may have their function impaired. And the bone marrow is usually hypercellular. So this comes from a patient who has renal insufficiency. Okay, so those they don't like where they are. So they start to crenate and form Burr cells. So if we do a scheme to try to find this out, we do our peripheral smear, and we see Burr cells or echinocytes. We see the hematocrit hemoglobin being decreased. And the only way we can prove that it's renal disease is to do some renal testing. And if those tests are abnormal, like the BUN's elevated, then you have anemia of renal disease. And the platelets, usually normal, can be slightly increased, but they don't function very well because they're coated with this waste product. Okay, so that's renal disease. So what could I show you on a smear? Not really anything, except burrs, maybe, hopefully. So echinocytes. Okay, let's talk about CDA, which stands for congenital dyserythropoietic anemias. So don't confuse this with anemia of chronic disease. If you're dyslexic, you got a problem here. So write it out so I don't misunderstand it. BUN.
No, like a clot test.
A coagulation test? If they had lots of bruising, maybe. But usually not. Okay, the problem with this is that they have abnormal erythropoietic production. It's inherited. So it's a marrow disorder where it's inherited. And they get ineffective erythropoiesis. And they get a decrease in the output from the marrow to the circulation. So it results in anemia. So there are three types, type 1, 2, and 3, and we use Roman numerals. So type 1 is an autosomal recessive. The male-to-female ratio is about 1.25 to 1. What you see in the patient usually is jaundice, so they have icterus. They have yellow eyes, yellowish skin. They have splenomegaly. Their skin may be pigmented as well, kind of a brownish color. And they have other problems. So they may have finger and toe abnormalities because this is inherited. So there are other problems that they have. Okay, with the type 1, then what you're looking for is a mild anemia. The retics are about 1 to 7%. And they are slightly macrocytic. So their MCV is going to be slightly increased. And you're going to see aneso and poik. You're going to see basophilic stippling. But the real criteria comes in the bone marrow. So this is a type 1 peripheral blood that shows you that they have macrocytes, and some of those are oval macrocytes. They have poik. They have some probably aneso because they've got small fragmented pieces. They've got smaller cells. And in the bone marrow, what you see in the bone marrow is erythroblasts that have multi-nucleus sometimes, but their main thing is that as they're dividing, so these show, where'd it go? Just where they're dividing. So it looks like they have two nuclei, but what they're doing is dividing. And then the characteristic is they have this bridge. As they're pulling apart, this bridge happens. So it's called intranuclear bridges. So that's kind of the telltale sign of a type 1. Okay, type 2 is the most common type of CDA. It's autosomal recessive. Male to female ratio is the same. They have the jaundice. They have hepatosplenomegaly. And they have gallstones. And the reason people have gallstones is because of jaundice. So they have increased bilirubin, and when you make a gallstone, that's just exactly what a gallstone's made out of, is bilirubin. The other name for this disease is called HEMPIS. So it stands for, and don't forget this, hereditary erythroblastic multinuclearity with a positive acidified serum test. Okay? So it tells you exactly what's wrong with the patient. So if you can remember HEMPIS, you can diagnose the patient.
What is multinuclear?
Okay, we're going to show you.
Oh, okay.
So these patients, too, have anemia. It's usually normocytic, normochromic, not macrocytic. Okay, it's you see aneso and poik. You're going to see some dacryocytes, basophilic stippling. But the biggest thing is that the cells from these patients are lysed when you acidify a normal patient's serum and put it with their cells. So their cells are really susceptible to lysis. So if you took their own serum and put their cells in it, it's fine. But if you took somebody else's serum put and acidified it a little bit, it'll lyse their cells. So this shows you a type 2. They're normocytic, normochromic, but you see that there is some aniso.
What about their osmotic fragility?
We don't do it on them. Okay. This is inherited, so it shows up really fast. You don't need that really to do it. But probably increased. So this is their bone marrow. So when you say multinuclearity, what we're talking about is they don't divide. So these are all nuclei. See how this one has four? So look at this one up here. So it's multinuclearity. And here's another picture of the same thing. So if you look at these cells, they have problems. So most of them are more than one nucleus in there. So with the way then that we diagnose it for sure is to take their red cells, put it into the serum of someone that we acidify their serum, and they're going to lyse. And so this is the patient's cell right here. Okay. So this is, we inactivate the complement, we put it with the serum, and we see that they will lyse their own cells.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Wouldn't anyone's cells lyse in acidified serum?
Nope. So, it's not that acid, it's just barely. So we have a test control so that we know that they don't.
So normal patients' red blood cells wouldn't acidify in normal serum?
They wouldn't lyse in normal acidified serum.
What did I say? Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these patients have, it's like having PNH, which you don't know what that means, but the cells in PNH are very susceptible to complement, so they lyse easy. And these cells lyse real easy. Okay, the third type is called type 3, and it's autosomal dominant. So again, the ratio is about 1.9 to 1. And they have a mild to moderate anemia. And their MCV is slightly increased, usually. It's mostly macrocytic. So if we see a type 3, then you see macrocytosis, you see aneso, you see poik, you see basophilic stippling. Those are the kinds of things you're going to see. So 1 and 3 are really rare. 2 is the most common. But anytime you see these and you see the bone marrow with all these weird red cells, then you think CDA. So it's inherited, so it's going to be diagnosed real early. So usually in children. So here is a smear from a type 3. So you notice the macrocytosis. There's a Hal Jolly body. You get fragments, so you have poik. Here's a bone marrow. The bone marrow they have is multinuclearity as well. And you'll notice they have problems with asynchrony. So sometimes the chromatin pattern looks pretty young.
So type 1 does not have the pancreas?
Type 1 has the bridging. Okay, this shows you, and this is probably the most characteristic of a type 3, they have what they call giant red cells. So giant precursors. So look at the size of this one right here. Huge. Megaloblastoid, yes, because they do have DNA problems, but they have so many other problems, that's one of the least. So giant red cell precursors for number 3. Okay, so if we were to try to differentiate the 3, 1, 2, and 3. So we look at our peripheral bloods, and we get normocytic, normochromic. We look at the bone marrow, and we see erythroid hyperplasia. We see multinuclearity. Okay, we do the acidified serum test. It's positive. It's a type 2. Okay, if it's macrocytic, we do the bone marrow. We see gigantoblasts, big, huge cells. Then it's type 3. If we just see the nuclear bridging, then it's type 1. Okay, let's get out your clickers. So which is the most common? better. All got that. No. Which is it? Two. Okay. Which characteristics is most important in diagnosing the type 2? KD. All right. Now there are anemias that are associated with endocrine disorders. So depending on which endocrine disorder is, you're going to see different types of anemias. And they can be real mild or they can be moderate anemias. So we're going to talk about some of the endocrine disorders. Probably the most common endocrine disorder is that of the thyroid. So if you have too much thyroid hormone production, you call it hyperthyroid, and if you don't have enough, you get hypo. And so in hyperthyroidism, usually what you see happening in this one is kind of opposite. You get an elevated red cell count because you have an increased need to carry oxygen. I mean, you have all this metabolism going on. So you usually see an elevated red blood cell mass. In hypo, you usually see a decreased red cell mass because you have a decrease in the need for oxygen because your metabolism is down. So in hypothyroidism, we're going to see a decrease in the production because they don't have as much need to carry oxygen. So they think that they're at sea level or below, right? So they don't need as much red cells, so they stop producing it. Okay, if you have too much cortisol, it's called hypercortisolism, and if you have too little, it's called hypo. So oldies, what's the name for hypercortisolism? Cushing's, what's the name of hypo? Addison's. See how smart they are? Woo! Okay, again, if it's hyper, you probably get polycythemic. You make cells because you have increased androgens. And if you remember the difference between male and female, males have higher hematocrits than females because of the androgens. The androgen bumps up that hematocrit a little bit. So if you have hypo, it's usually normal, but you might have a slight increase to hematocrit just because of some of the salt-retaining hormones that you have, or lack of, I should say. So Addison's is hypocortisolism. So these people usually have a low blood pressure, and they can have abnormalities in hemoglobin hematocrit, and I'll summarize that at the end. Okay, hypogonadism means that the gonads aren't developed, usually because there's no androgens or not enough androgens. Okay, so it's going to be decreased as far as red cell count. And if you have diabetes mellitus, you can have a hemolysis of red cells if they go into ketosis.
Could you
have androgens are the male hormones. And so if you have hypogonadism, then you don't have enough of the androgens, therefore your hematocrit's decreased. And if you have diabetes mellitus, usually it's hemolysis because you don't have enough where you have too much ketosis. So these are the things that could happen. If you have hyperthyroidism, you might get macrocytic. If you have hypo, it's usually macrocytic, but you could have iron deficiency if there's a chronic bleed, especially through menstruation. Hypercortisolism usually gives you a polycythemic picture, whereas hypo, not usually a problem, but you can have an increased hematocrit. Hyperandrogenemia, okay, hypo it should be, means you don't have enough androgens, so you might have a slight anemia. And diabetes mellitus can be falsely elevated or can be hemolysis. So what are you going to see on a peripheral smear? Normocytic, normochromic usually. So you're going to have other evaluations. So this is what you do. If you get a smear and you know that your hemoglobin hematocrit might be low, then if you see macrocytic, you've got to do a thyroid test. Okay? So we've got to follow up with these tests. So you don't know a whole lot about that yet, but there'd be a test that we'd run for thyroid function. Okay, if it's normal or decreased here, it's going to be hyper, and if it's increased, it's hypo. But you don't need to remember that yet. You just need to remember that you've got to test for something else. So if you think it's a thyroid problem, you've got to test for it. With the hypoandrogenemic, you test for androgens. If they're decreased, it's going to decrease. They're going to be normocytic, normochromic usually. Okay, if your glucose is increased and you got it, anemia, it's probably diabetes mellitus. If your cortisol is decreased, you got hypocortisolism or Addison's. And if your cortisol is increased, you get hypercortisolism, Addison's. But they may be anemic, is all I'm saying. If you have endocrine disease, these people may be anemic. Then you got to follow up on that. Okay, so that's anemia of endocrine disorders. Okay, myelothysic anemia. Remember what myelothysic meant? It meant it's associated with bone marrow replacement. So the bone marrow is being replaced by some abnormal tissue. It's usually cancerous, but it can be anything. So these people get anemic, they get weak, they fatigue easy, they may have hepatosplenomegaly, and their spleen may become real large. So what is myelothesis? It means the marrow's being invaded, and it's invaded with maybe a tumor or tuberculosis, an infection, or myeloproliferative disorders, or any other kind of disorders. And so what happens is they get hypoxia because they don't have enough red cells. So what you're going to see kind of varies on what's the problem. So one of the things you're going to see in the blood is immature cells, immature white cells. And occasionally you'll see giant platelets, but usually they're normal to decreased in number. The red cells are going to be normocytic, normochromic, so you've got to look for something else. You're going to see poik. And with the poik, you're going to see fragmented cells. And remember that if your bone marrow gets replaced and your liver starts producing cells, the liver doesn't make them as well, and so you're going to see dendrocytes. So dendrocyte usually means bone marrow infiltration or extramedullary hematopoiesis. You're also going to see immature red cells on the smear. So if you've got immature whites and immature reds, what's it called? Leukoerythroblastosis or leukoerythroblastic response. Okay, so can you tell here that this is an immature white? Okay, it's at least a myelocyte, right? Okay. And then you've got some immature reds with it. So leukoerythroblastic response. So what do you see in the bone marrow? When they tap the bone marrow, many times they'll get what's called a dry tap. And a dry tap means they go into the bone marrow and they pull back and there isn't anything. Because they're stopped making cells and they've been replaced by fibrotic tissue. So this is a section of bone marrow that's been stained. And all this in here, this is replacement of regular bone marrow tissue with just fibrotic material. So all that should be producing cells, and now it can't. So this is the diagnosis then. Here's our CBC, hematocrit, hemoglobin decreased. Retics, probably normal to decrease. You do the bone marrow, and now you see this hypocellularity and a fibrotic staining. Okay, you get myelothysic anemia. Over here you see the immature granulocytes, maybe some giant platelets, And you see poik, you see dendriocytes, and you see nucleated reds. So all that together gives you myelophysic anemia. So you got to spell myelophysic, okay? Because there's no abbreviation. Okay, what's the most important characteristic of myelophysic? Okay, it's the leukoerythroblastic. Does anybody remember what leukemoid means? Yeah, that's what you see, but it means an increase in white count, right? But no immature rut. Okay, which kind of anemia is this? Is it macrocytic? Normocytic, normochromic, right? Okay, it has a hypoplastic marrow. Okay, let's talk about aplastic anemia, also called acute pancytopenia. So what does pancytopenia mean?
All cells are
decreased. So white cells, platelets, red cells. So we're going to talk about different kinds. So with aplastic anemia, A means without growth, aplastic. Okay, you got to have some or you wouldn't be alive. But they're really cut down. So we're going to talk about some congenital causes and acquired. Acquired's most common. And so if you acquire aplastic anemia and you don't know why you get it, it's called idiopathic. It could be secondary to any of these kinds of drugs or infections. So what you see when you can't make cells is that they are weak and they get dizzy because they don't have enough oxygen. They don't have enough oxygen-carrying cells. They have a tendency towards bruising because they can't make platelets. And they get infections because they can't make white cells, neutrophils. So this isn't a very fun thing to have. So pancytopenia. So this is the acquired. So most causes, we don't know why it all of a sudden happens. Many times you can trace it to chemical agents. So maybe it's exposure to silver or gold. Or one of the things that's associated with is antimicrobials. In other countries, they still treat people with chloramphenicol, which is an antimicrobial, an antibiotic. And chloramphenicol has been known to cause your bone marrow to quit functioning. So if you're treated in another country, don't let them treat you with an antibiotic called chloramphenicol. Okay, it could be radiation. It could be a viral infection that just stops the production of the CD34 stem cells. And those cells are immature enough that you can't make any types of cells. The only thing that may be normal, and it's a relative normal, would be the lymphocytes. Okay, so what we're going to see is a decrease in neutrophils, but our lymphocyte count's probably going to be normal. We're going to see decreased platelets. We're going to see normocytic, normochromic anemia. It can be slightly macrocytic, and that's what we've seen more often, is that it's slightly macrocytic. But you'll read in books that it's normocytic, normochromic. The RDW is going to be normal, and your corrected retic count is going to be decreased because they can't produce them. So if you look at a smear, there's nothing really that grabs you right there as being abnormal. It's normocytic, normochromic. They're not very many cells, but, you know. So the criteria to put you in this severe category of aplastic anemia is that your neutrophil count's less than 0.5, your platelet count's less than 20, your corrected retic is less than 1%, your bone marrow cellularity is less than 30%, and there's nothing else that they can figure out that's wrong with you. So it's called idiopathic aplastic anemia. Okay, you do the bone marrow, and it's hypocellular. So this is a bone marrow from an aplastic anemia. So you don't see many cells there, do you? Mostly fat cells. And the cells that you see are just the mature red cells and probably lymphocytes every once in a while. Okay, so this is the diagnostic scheme. Okay, you get an anemia. Your white cell count's decreased. You get, looking at the smear, you see it's normochromic, slightly macrocytic. Your RDW is normal. You do a corrected retic. It's decreased. They do a bone marrow. It's going to be hypoplastic to aplastic. And you call it aplastic anemia. So what do they do for these people? They try to see what's the causative agent and see if they take them off of that, if they'll respond. They have to support them with transfusions. So they may give them red cells, they may give them platelet packs, they may give them neutrophil packs to try to keep them alive to see if they're going to respond. And the only cure really is to do a bone marrow transplant on most of them.
Is the most common cause for this is acquired?
Idiopathic. Who knows? Okay, so the types that are inherited are really rare. So there's one called Fanconi's anemia. This is a congenital type of aplastic anemia. And they have other problems. So, you know, it's going to be a kid. They have kind of patchy brown pigmentation to their skin. They have bone abnormalities. And the main problem is they have a problem with DNA repair. Okay? So that is known as Fanconi's. There's also one where only the red cells are decreased. And so that's called pure red cell aplasia. And then there's a inherited type of pure red cell aplasia. And this pure red cell aplasia is not really inherited. It can be acquired as well. And I'll show you that. But diamond and black fan is a congenital kind. So let's look at Fanconi's first. So these are kids that have aplastic anemia. It's inherited. So they're short in stature. They have skin, brownish pigmentation to the skin. They have all sorts of problems. So their kidneys may be malformed. They have bone dysplasias. They have small heads. They have mental retardation. And the problem in these kids is going to be lots of infections because their neutrophils are down, so they can't fight the infections. And the male-to-female ratio is about 1 to 3 to 1. So this is a Fanconi's anemia. Short stature, you can see kind of a mild microcephaly, and you can see it, her compared to her normal sister. Okay, so the normal sister could give a bone marrow transplant, and that's the only way to cure these. This shows you, again, a Fanconi's, and it shows you the hemorrhages they're going to have because their platelets are so low. And so you'll get all these petechial hemorrhages because the platelets are decreased, as well as white cells and red cells. So everything's decreased. So white cells, platelets, red cells. Okay. It's called Fanconi's, which is an aplastic anemia inherited. So what are you going to see on a smear? Probably nothing real outstanding. It's going to be the numbers that help. So you do a bone marrow. It's hypocellular. And so because it's inherited, you're going to do some cytogenetics, chromosomal studies, and you're going to find numerous abnormalities there. So mainly they're slightly macrocytic, and the bone marrow is hypocellular. But everything's decreased since it's pancytopenia. Okay, this is an acquired problem where only the red cell line's affected. So platelets are normal and white cells are normal. So we don't call it aplastic anemia. Instead, we call it pure red cell aplasia because it's only red cells. And these people have severe anemia, so they have the weakness, the headache, the vertigo, the fatigue, ringing in the ears, irritability. And there is a primary type and a secondary type. The primary type is usually idiopathic. We don't know why they have it. But it can be associated with a thymoma. And a thymoma is a tumor of the thymus gland. If it's secondary, it could be associated with cancers, autoimmune problems, drugs, infections, whatever. But it only knocks out the red cell line. So it's PRCA, pure red cell aplasia. So white cells normal, platelets normal, red cells decreased. So hemoglobin decreased, hematocrit decreased, retics decreased, and you get a normocytic, normochromic anemia. So what do you see? Not much. So bone marrow, they have to do the bone marrow, and what they see is an absence or at least a marked decrease in the erythroid cells. So myeloid problems, no problem. Megakaryocytic problems, no problem. So that's how you get to that point, is you do a bone marrow. Okay? So it's pure red cell aplasia. If the megakaryocytes and the myeloid cells are fine. So if you inherit this problem, where only the red cells are affected, it's called diamond and black fan anemia. So again, if it's inherited, they're going to have other problems. So they have abnormal kidneys, abnormal eyes, skeleton, everything. So here's a patient that had diamond and black fan. She was 24 years old, and her mother's on the other side there, so you can see what normal would be. But can't make red cells. So they treat them with corticosteroid therapy, which stunts the growth. But this person had received over 100 units of blood. And then, remember, if you get too many blood transfusions, you get a deposition of iron, and so you get hemochromatosis. So this is a diamond and black fan that shows you a three-year-old, and she's been treated with blood transfusions as well. But she's partially retarded, but it's a inherited pure red cell aplasia. So they have other problems. So the only thing you're going to see is decrease in red cells, retics are decreased, and the erythropoietin tries to respond. It tries to put out more, but it doesn't do any good. So it's got to be a stem cell problem. So again, what you see on peripheral blood is not much. So you have to do the bone marrow. You're going to see everything normal except the red cells. Okay. So macrocytic to normocytic, but the only thing that's decreased is erythroid. So you're going to see a picture of an early child with abnormalities. So you know it's inherited. So these are the pure red cell aplasia. So the inherited one is diamond black fan. The acquired one's called pure red cell aplasia. And it can be autoimmune, or it can be secondary to anything in the world. Or we just don't figure it out, so we call it idiopathic.
Should we know all those?
No.
Is it just important?
Just so you know the difference. But it can be due to anything. But remember, primary is associated with a thymoma. Okay, next is acute blood loss. And that's what it's called, acute blood loss anemia. So this is when somebody's in an accident and they lose lots of blood. So the symptoms that you see in the patient depends on how much blood is lost and how fast it was lost. So they may be lightheaded, they might have decrease in blood pressure, they get rapid pulse, kind of a cool, clammy skin. If it's too much, of course, they go unconscious, go into shock and die. So you can't lose all the blood. So an injury that allows blood to escape from blood vessels into tissues or outside the body is the cause of acute blood loss anemia. So if more than 20% of the total blood is lost, then you can't get enough oxygen to your tissue. And if you don't get oxygen to your tissues, they necrode, they die, they infarct. So what do we see? It depends on how long it's been since the loss of blood. It doesn't happen immediately, okay? It takes a while for this to change. So 3 to 4 hours after the blood loss, you're going to see these kinds of things. Immediately, you're going to look just normal. But 3 to 4 hours, you start to see an increase of the marrow coming out with cells. And so the first things that are kicked out would be the immature neutrophils. So you'd see a shift to the left. You'd see the platelets going up, and you'd see the bone marrow starting to respond. So it'd be erythroid hyperplasia. So what you see happening to the patient after 3 to 4 hours is then you can measure the hemoglobin hematocrit, and it'll start to decrease. So they have a normocytic, normochromic anemia. And then it takes about 2 to 5 days in order to get any retics out, because you have to make all these. So the retics will go up after about 2 to 5 days. So on a peripheral smear, if it happens immediately, you're not going to see much. If it happens a little while after, you'll see neutrophilia, you'll see retics, so you should see polychromasia. Okay, so what do? They try to give them volume replacement till they get them to the hospital, and then you can measure how much blood loss they have and do a transfusion if necessary. All right. I got 4 whole minutes. So let's start on hemoglobinopathies. Okay, we talked about quantitative, but we haven't talked about qualitative. So you already know this, right? You already know there are two chromosomes that control the globin chains. So we have 16 and 11, and you already know which chains come from which chromosomes. So if you think about it, this shows you when the chains are produced. So the ones that produce embryonic hemoglobins are going to be produced by the yolk cells or the liver cells, so that when we combine those, it gives us embryonic hemoglobins. So if we look at the chains, we take the globin that's produced from the chains, we put them together, and we make different hemoglobins. So the next slide shows you the hemoglobins that we produce. So we already talked about A1, and we said that when you have 2 alphas and 2 betas, you make A1. And we talked about A2. So if you have 2 alphas and 2 deltas, you make A2. And we've talked about hemoglobin F, so that if you have 2 alphas and 2 gammas, you make hemoglobin F. We didn't mention which chains make up Gowers and Portland. So remember, Gowers and Portland are embryonic hemoglobins. They're the ones that are made early in the yolk sac and the liver. So for Gower 1, you take epsilon and zeta, and put 2 of each of those together, and you get Gower 1. And if you take alpha and epsilon, you get Gower 2. And if you take zeta and gamma, you get Portland. So those last three are embryonic antigens. So just real early hemoglobins till you start making the normal hemoglobins that you see in a fetus when they're delivered or in an adult. So remember, the alpha chain has 141 amino acids. Beta chain's 146. So what you're going to do is arrange those into a molecule. And the globin portion, then, are the two chains. And the heme portion gets inserted in the chain with the iron in the ferrous form so it can hang on to the oxygen. So in a normal person, it depends on the age, but in an adult, you have about 97% A1. and you have about 2% A2 and you have less than 2% F normally. In a neonate that's just born, you got about 40%, 2%, and 60% F. So tomorrow, we'll start on nomenclature and all the hemoglobinopathies. There's only about 200 and something of them. So I'll see you at about 3.
I hope it's a matching question.